Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas with family and friends, focusing on Jesus and the amazing gift that God gave us in His incarnation. Yes. Well, the new year is upon us. Time for those, you know, New Year's resolutions, if you're planning on making those. Amy, have you made any resolutions for the new year? Or are you planning to?
Well, for many years, I've tried being a better this or a better that, which always involves struggling against the flesh and then making it a thing for the new year. Michelle, it doesn't work out very well. It's that age-old burden of trying to remember that we can have all the great habits in the world, but, you know, without resting and relying in our great God, it's basically just doing what the rest of the world does. Now, that said, I'm sure that in 2021, I will be uber successful at learning to be a runner, eating absolutely no sugar, and of course, getting everything done on my to-do list each and every day. It'll last me probably all of maybe 2 or 3 days, right? Except for the running part. But in all seriousness, I would like to improve my spiritual habits in prayer, scripture reading, and I really always yearn to love people better. What about you, Michelle? Any resolutions for the new year?
No, I'm not really a resolutions kind of gal. You know, I have some, I have a to-do list that's a mile long that I would like to get finished by the end of 2021. Hopefully some things sooner than that. And I have a few goals in mind that I'd like to take care of this year. But I mean, the closest that I've really ever come to making a New Year's resolution is when I, for example, decide to read through the Bible in a year. Because when you commit to a Bible reading plan like that, you're kind of saying, I'm resolving to do this thing this year, you know.
So, <Yeah. laughs>
and I think a lot of Christians, maybe even some of our listeners, have that kind of unstated resolution for the new year. Maybe you've decided to read through the whole Bible this year, or maybe you've decided to study the Bible more this year, or better this year, or in a different way this year. Or maybe you're a new Christian who has decided to start having a daily time of Bible study. And those are all fantastic decisions or resolutions, if you want to call them that, for the new year or any time. Remember, you don't have to wait until January the 1st to start reading your Bible or start doing a new Bible plan or anything like that.
Yeah, that is so true. But because a lot of Christians are thinking about starting or improving or changing up the way they do Bible study around the beginning of the year, we thought this would be a great time to talk about it. You know, the Bible is supernatural. It is complete in itself, and it needs no other books or commentaries to supplement it. I mean, those other things are nice to have, but really all you need is the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And one of the kindnesses God has shown us as unique people made in His image is that He hasn't said there's only one right way to spend time with Him in His Word. There are lots of right ways, and we're going to talk about a few of those tonight. Now, just so there's no misunderstandings, when we say there's no one right way to study your Bible, you're not saying, of course, that every way of studying or reading your Bible is right, or that it doesn't matter how you approach the study of God's Word. For example, the old open your Bible to a random spot, close your eyes, and point to a verse method is not a healthy way to read your Bible. But even that is preferable to choosing a Bible study by a false teacher. So, Michelle, maybe we'd better start with a few wrong ways to study your Bible.
I think that's a really good idea. And I think, you know, if you want to bottom line it, I think what it boils down to is this. Don't study your Bible in any way that would conflict with 2 Timothy 2:15. And all God's Awana people said, amen. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now, remember, in this passage, in this epistle, Paul is addressing pastors in particular here, but this is a principle that applies to every Christian regarding the study or teaching of God's Word. Do your best to rightly handle God's word so that when you answer to him for how you studied it and understood it, you won't have to be ashamed of yourself for being lazy or lackadaisical or irreverent about it. Study in such a way that when God looks at your heart, he would say, I know she did her absolute best to study my word diligently and understand it correctly. So what are some ways of reading or studying your Bible that would not be handling God's word rightly? Well, as I was thinking about it, the two major categories that came to my mind of doing Bible study wrong would be false teachers and false doctrine. In other words, learning the Bible from false teachers or incorporating false doctrine into your study of the word. Now, I'm going to start with false teachers. I think it should go without saying, but just in case it doesn't, you should not be using Bible study books or videos or any other materials from false teachers. Now, we've talked before on this podcast about how to figure out whether or not you should follow a particular teacher, but let me just quickly recap. You should not be receiving teaching from any woman who preaches to men or instructs men in the scriptures, whether that's as a pastor, as a guest preacher during a Sunday morning worship service, at a Christian conference, in a co-ed Sunday school class at her home church, all of those things, if she's preaching to men or instructing men in the scriptures. And that also goes for any male pastor or author who has women pastors on staff at his church or allows women to preach to or teach men in his church or partners in conferences or other ministries with women pastors or women who preach to men, all of that. That's a sin per 1 Timothy 2:12, and you shouldn't follow any teacher who openly lives or ministers in unrepentant sin. So that's the first thing, women preaching to men. Second thing, you should also not be receiving teaching from anyone who partners with or shows an affinity for known false teachers. If the Bible study book you're considering was endorsed by Joyce Meyer, chuck it. If it was authored by somebody who constantly retweets Joel Osteen or Andy Stanley, forget it. If you're looking at doing a DVD series starring a teacher who regularly appears at conferences with Bethel or Hillsong staff, don't do it. Yoking with false teachers is also a sin. So those two criteria right there will weed out probably about 90% of the people you shouldn't be receiving teaching from. So if you want some specific names, here are a few of the bestsellers besides the names I've already mentioned. Now, this is not a comprehensive list of every single teacher that you should avoid. There are thousands of them, and we couldn't possibly list all of them. But here are some of the most popular that you should avoid. Almost everyone appearing on TBN, CBN, God TV, or Daystar TV. Joel and Victoria Osteen. Rick and Kay Warren, Rick Warren of The Purpose Driven Life and Saddleback Church and all that, and also his wife Kay. Stephen Furtick, or really anything having to do with Elevation Church or Elevation Music. T.D. Jakes, and pretty much anybody who's related to him, including his wife and daughters. Christine Kane, Beth Moore, Priscilla Schreier, Lisa Terkerst, and anyone associated with Proverbs 31, any of the writers, any of the teachers, things like that. Sarah Young and the entire Jesus Calling franchise and anything else that's come out from Sarah Young that I'm not aware of. Lisa Harper, Ann Voskamp, Lisa Bevere, Jenny Allen, and anyone associated with If Gathering. Those are all some people that and organizations and ministries that you should avoid. And I'm going to add one more, and this is actually the first time I'm publicly saying this, and as a Southern Baptist, it pains me to say it. But if you need a quick way to rule someone out without doing hours and hours of research on an author that you're not familiar with, I would avoid any author or conference speaker promoted by Lifeway Women. That's the women's division of Lifeway. Now, please hear me. I am not saying that every woman in Lifeway Women's stable of women's Bible study authors is necessarily unbiblical or a false teacher, but the majority of them are, certainly enough that I feel comfortable saying you could use their endorsement as a litmus test of who to avoid. So I'm going to leave it at that for false teachers. As for false doctrine, you certainly want to avoid anyone who teaches New Apostolic Reformation heresy or Word of Faith heresy. And that's going to be your Bethel, your Hillsong, your TBN type stuff, signs and wonders, speaking in tongues, being slain in the spirit, so-called prophecy, so-called faith healing, positive confession, you know, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, you know, speak it into existence, stuff like that, the prosperity gospel, that kind of thing. So you certainly want to avoid all of that. And then another form of false doctrine you want to avoid is what our friend Chris Roseborough of the Fighting for the Faith podcast calls narcissism, and what I call narcissistic navel gazing, both of which make you the star of the show when it comes to Bible study. And of course, we know that we are not supposed to be the star of the show when it comes to Bible study. God and his word and the story of Jesus are supposed to be the star of the show. So narcissism is narcissism plus eisegesis. It's reading yourself into the text of scripture and making whatever passage you're reading all about you. And so the classic example that most of our readers have probably, most of our listeners have probably heard, is the story of David and Goliath. Reading it as though you're David and your problems are Goliath and you've got to conquer the giant of your problems, you know. That's not what the passage is about, and it has nothing to do with you personally. That's reading yourself into the text. Now, narcissism assumes there's an actual biblical text being taught or studied. The false doctrine that I call narcissistic navel-gazing doesn't really even require an actual text of Scripture. And many of Lifeway's so-called Bible studies for women are steeped in narcissistic navel-gazing. The teacher may or may not read a Bible verse or passage, but it doesn't really matter because the bulk of her teaching is going to consist of her personal stories and life experiences. And she's going to tell you all these heartwarming stories, and then her quote unquote study questions are going to be all about you reflecting on your life experiences, your opinions, your feelings, your hurts. That's not studying the Bible. That's studying you. So those are the false doctrines I would warn you away from when it comes to Bible study: New Apostolic Reformation heresy, Word of Faith heresy, and any form of narcissism. Amy, which false teachers or false doctrines would you encourage our listeners to stay away from when it comes to studying the Bible?
Well, Michelle, that was a great list. And I know it's hard to name names. It's hard for some people to hear actual names being named. And I would just say, amen, Michelle. We need to stand firm for truth and against falsehood in these times. So I would say, if you're going to really look into these things, ladies, anything to do with not trusting in the sufficiency of God's word is something to avoid. Almost all of the apostate leaders or movements have to do with, I would say, three things. The first is any teaching that encourages people to go outside of the parameters of the Bible to have an experience or to hear God's voice. And that would include, as Michelle said, Word of Faith, New Apostolic Reformation. I would add spiritual formation, deliverance ministries where you are interacting with and casting out demons. Those are all examples. Of course, there's many more things involved in that. And the second is any teaching having to do with adding a heavy burden to your faith and can take the good news of grace completely out of the gospel until there is just this distorted view of God's nature and character. The Hebrew Roots movement, or any church that teaches that you are saved only if you do something to earn it. You know, your good deeds, your spiritual traditions, or following those who claim authority and speak for God will not save you. Right? Okay, and the third type of teaching to look out for is any teaching that tells you that it's okay to ignore holiness in your own life and or embrace sin of others to be just like the world. So if your favorite women's authors call their lives messy or refer to their sin as junk, you know what? That's a red flag. I saw that with some of the studies from Jen Hatmaker back in the day, and we all know how her messy life ended up, and she is now leading women into the most deceptive carnality you can imagine. That's part of the progressive Christianity movement, which really isn't Christianity at all. but they call themselves the Progressives, and that movement is rife with that kind of teaching. And that's also where you'll find feminism taking a firm hold, and we've talked about that on this show before. And unfortunately now, part of progressivism is the new woke critical race theory teachings from the progressive realm that we've talked about. Those are also seeping into now mainline churches. So, of course, Michelle and I are going to link some resources on these movements so that you can learn more about them and what to look out for. And Michelle, the teachers that you mentioned by name are kind of a top tier of celebrity to stay away from. But you also have to remember, ladies, that there are a lot more people you never heard of who are leading others to a false Christianity. And, you know, new programs are popping up all the time. For example, we talked on this program just recently about the resurgence of the Enneagram, which isn't new, but it has taken a whole new generation of people in our time captive to navel gazing. And that's why, really, it is so important to know God's word inside and out, and to pray to him for wisdom and a continued growing and understanding of truth and protection from the lies of the enemy. And one more thing about the almost but not quite true snares, beware that each of these movements, each of these teachers will use scripture in a way that twists the original context to fit their agenda. So yes, you need to know your Bible, but you also need to study those verses in context, which is why verse by verse learning is so important.
You know, I really couldn't agree more. All those things you mentioned, all those movements, those teachings, those should definitely be avoided when you're studying the Bible. And I want to go back and I want to stress what Amy said. It's not just that handful of evangelical celebrities I mentioned a few minutes ago who are teaching these things. This stuff is trickling down from the celebrities to the celebrity wannabes, to the mega churches in your area, maybe even into your own smaller church or Bible study class that you thought was safe, so to speak. We have to be vigilant in our discernment. This stuff is sneaking in everywhere. So really be careful when you are setting out to study your Bible, especially if you're using materials authored by someone else. Well, let's move on from wrong ways to study the Bible to some of the right ways to study the Bible. Amy, I thought we could start by each of us describing what our own personal daily Bible studies look like. I mean, not that either of us have cornered the market on the absolute right way to do it, but just in case some of the things that we do might give our listeners some ideas of how they might want to structure their own daily Bible study time. So why don't you go first? What does Amy Spreeman's Bible study time look like?
Well, and my husband's going to laugh at this. For me, it starts with waking up. You know, by the time I mean, it's really hard. I have not ever been a morning person, but
amen,
by the time
sister.
you know, I stumble out, I search for my coffee. That's like usually the first thing. My eyes are still half closed. And what do I see the first thing when I walk into our living room? There is my husband curled up on the couch with his Bible open, and he's been reading for quite some time. And so I was like, oh, man, I wish I were that alert as a morning person, but I just need to wake up first. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you study right away in the morning or midday or evening. The first thing I start with is prayer. It's nothing lengthy, just a you know, brief prayer. I save the intercessory part of prayer in my day for later and just focus this time on asking for wisdom and for the Holy Spirit to reveal truth in what I'm about to read. In my personal study, I usually focus on one book, maybe something my church is studying at the time or something that interests me. And then I'll start just by reading. I'll just kind of go through an overview of the entire chapter first. Or if it's a shorter book, I'll just read the whole thing. You know, I start reading through that book start to finish. And then after I do those things, then I go back and I break down the verses from the beginning of the first chapter. And so I do this daily. And I think ingesting the larger section first, at least for me anyway, is a great way to pick up the general themes. But then, for me anyway, diving into the verses after after that, after I've picked up those themes, and then taking the time to meditate on those can reveal such deep truths, especially when you look at the cross references and the footnotes. You know, I've tried a lot of different methods over the years, and one of the ways that I've been studying lately is with my church's Women's Bible Study Group's method, which is sort of an inductive method or a precept method. I'm going to talk more about that in a bit, but then, as you know, Michelle, I'm also very fond of listening to the Bible on audio, verse by verse, all the way through as a story. It's not the same as studying, I know, but it does add and reinforce and familiarize and remind me of what the Bible says and how it flows together and points to our Savior. And I need that too. And what about you, Michelle? Let's talk about what Bible study looks like at Michelle Leslie's house.
Well, it's so funny. And I just want to tell our listeners that Amy and I did not collaborate on this and copy off one another's papers, but mine looks pretty much like Amy's does. The first thing, I mean, Amy, did you peek at the notes that I made for the show on what I do? No. Okay.
Are you a coffee fan?
Yes, I have to. If I tried to just turn my alarm clock off and just sit up in the bed and start studying, I would just fall back asleep. I am not a morning person. So, but I do, I have made morning time my time to do my Bible study, just because it's the best time for me to do it, because I've found if I put it off until later, I forget about it, because I think, oh, I've already done that this morning, or I just don't even think about it, you know, whatever. So yeah, I get out of bed and stumble to the kitchen and pour myself a cup of ambition and get me some coffee. And
there's a song in that
somewhere. It's much earlier than 9 a.m. though. But anyway, I get my coffee and get awake good enough. And then I sit down with my Bible. And the first thing that I do is pray also. And there are some certain scriptures that I pray, not verbatim, but maybe the ideas that are in these verses. And I just wanted to share a few of these verses that that I use in my prayer time right before I start studying. And I'm just like you. This is just a very short, you know, a minute or two prayer, trying to ask God to help me to get focused on what I'm about to read and to ask Him to speak to me. So some of the things that I pray are Exodus 33:18, Lord, show me your glory in this passage. Psalm 119:169, give me understanding according to your word. Ephesians 5:26, wash me with the washing of water with your word. Psalm 25:4-5, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. That's a really good one. James 1:22, help me to be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. And of course, I also ask God to help me to stay awake and help me to stay focused and ask Him to speak to me and to grow me through the study of His word. So I do that, and then I open up to wherever I'm supposed to be that day, wherever I'm supposed to be studying, whether I'm studying a book, a particular book of the Bible, or every few years, maybe every 4 or 5 years, I read through the whole Bible in a year. And that's just been my habit over the past several years. And I really recommend that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it's really helpful to have some sort of basic plan, even just I'm studying through the book of Ephesians right now or whatever, so that you don't get up in the morning and waste time going, oh, what am I going to study today? Maybe I'll study this. Maybe I'll study that. You really need to do it in a more systematic way, or it's, you know, you're going to be helter skelter. You're going to be wasting time. You're going to, you know, it's just not going to be as productive a time as if you have a goal in mind and you're pursuing that goal and you open up to where you know you're supposed to be that morning. So I would highly recommend that if you're not doing that yet. And then I either read my Bible or I study my Bible. Now those, we kind of use those words interchangeably sometimes, but they're really different when it comes to what you're actually doing in practice. When I do my every few years reading through the Bible in a year thing. It's really more reading than studying, because you there's a lot of material to cover and there's not as much time to really spend a whole lot of time on each individual verse, or you're going to be there all day long. So that's really more when I do my reading, which is why I only do that every few years, because I really enjoy studying more and I get a lot more out of studying than I get out of reading. It's probably just the way that God wired my brain. But anyway, that's what I do. When I'm studying through a book or a passage or whatever, what I do is I pray and then I open up and I start reading. And I try to get through a chapter a day, but some chapters are really long, or sometimes God just parks me on a particular verse and I just hang out there for a day or two. And I just take notes as I go, and it's nothing fancy. I have a old beat up spiral notebook that I use and a pen, and I just write down questions and thoughts that occur to me as I reflect on the passage. I think of other passages that it reminds me of, or how it relates to the overall story arc of the Bible, how I can apply this passage to my life. If I'm reading about a particular sin or something and I'm convicted that I'm committing that sin in my own life, I take the time to repent. And so I just, those are kind of the things that I write down. And that's what I do when I'm studying. Now, this is what I do Monday through Friday. On Sunday, I'm studying and I'm hearing the Bible at church, so I don't really have a personal Bible study time on Sundays because I'm in the Bible all day long at church. Saturday, I take the day off from the weekday routine and just kind of rest from that daily routine. And daily study is part of my weekday routine. And I would like to just say that if you take a day off during the week of studying your Bible and you know you're disciplined to do it the other 5 or 6 days of the week, you're not sinning, you know. That's okay. You know, I'm still listening to, during the week, I'm still listening to Christian podcasts, and on Saturday I am too. Or I might be writing a blog article that involves the study of a certain passage or something like that. So if your life pretty much revolves around the Bible and biblical principles, then, you know, if you're one day or 2 days a week where you're not having a personal Bible study time, you are not in sin. However, if you need that, if you need to be in that habit, you know, if you skip a day and that's going to cause you to skip 12 days, then you might need to just have that discipline of doing it every single day until you get disciplined enough that you can take a day off here and there, and it doesn't prohibit you from getting back on that horse the next day. So that's how Amy and I do our daily Bible study times. But there are a lot of other methods you can use that a lot of people find helpful.
Yeah, that's right. And one of them, like I mentioned, is the inductive method of Bible study. Here's what that looks like. This is really a classical method that helps us grasp not only the overall big picture themes of the passage they're studying, but also you get the deep, rich truths as you examine each verse. It's really seeing truth for yourself instead of depending on somebody else to tell you the truth. You're actually seeing it in the Word. You're discerning what it means and then applying that truth in your life. And God Himself, the Holy Spirit, is our teacher to guide us every step of the way, which is so cool. And inductive study really involves 3 skills. First, observation, and then interpretation, and finally application. And I take a lot of notes. Like Michelle, I have this old beat up spiral notebook with the pocket things where I can stick other things. And some people do an inductive Bible study where they put, you know, pens, colored pens and symbols over certain words. I don't do that. I simply stick to those 3 things. And when you start with observation, here's what that looks like. You're really looking at simply and precisely what the Bible passage says. So the questions as you're doing this, and you're going to take notes as you observe, are the who, what, when, why, where, and how, you know, and what happened before this passage that you're reading. Are there any repetitive words or contrasts like but or however? And are there transitional words like therefore that tie verses together? Okay, so you're writing these notes down and you're just observing what it says. Next is the interpretation part, and this will tell us what the verse means. This is where discernment comes in. We're going to be looking for context to get the fuller picture. You're going to be reading those cross references, those little verses that you see at the side margins or at the bottom. Very helpful. Look those up. Take notes on what those, you know, compare and contrast. What are they saying? As God's word is best at interpreting itself. And then finally, the application part. What does this verse mean to me personally? I'm not talking about navel gazing, making it about me, but sometimes it's clear, like when Jesus is giving a command, we can see, oh, I can apply that in my life. And other times the passage is simply describing something that happened historically. But whether a passage is prescriptive or descriptive, the Holy Spirit will increase your wisdom, and ultimately your time in the Bible is going to lead to a transformed life. I promise. It's amazing. Michelle, what are some other methods you would recommend for studying the Bible? Do you have any?
Well, I just wanted to say first that the inductive method sounds like it would be a really good fit for some of our listeners who want to do that. I remember when I tried to do the inductive method one time, and you know, you were mentioning the different colored pens and everything. I had picked up it may have been a K. Arthur book or something mm-hmm. like that, but it was an inductive study book, and I opened it to the first page, and it started listing all the things that you would need. And it was like, you know, 8 or 12 different colored highlighters. And then there was this and this, and you have to learn all these symbols and all that. And I was just overwhelmed. I could not handle it. And I closed the book and put it back and just kind of went back to the old way I studied. But from what you were describing, it sounds like maybe a lot of us would do, you know, kind of intuitively do mm-hmm. the application, the interpreting and all of that. Just as we study more freestyle. So mm-hmm. it might be a good idea, you know, even if you're not, if you can't handle, you know, the anxiety of all the pens and stuff like I couldn't, it might be a good idea to maybe kind of look at what Amy's talking about the different, you know, the observation and the application and all that stuff. Yeah. And just figure out a way that you can make that work for you. You know, I'm not saying, you know, eisegesis. I'm saying take this method and find a way to make it work for you. So that might be helpful. There are some people who just love all the organization and the, like I say, yeah. the different color pens and the symbols and the this and the that. And if that's what helps you, that is great. I mean, yep. like Amy was saying earlier, God created each of us a unique, special person in his image. And so what works for me may not work for you, and what works for you may not work for me. And that is okay. Because yeah. like we said, there's no one right way to study the Bible, as far as, you know, the method that you use, the organizational method. So a couple of other things, ways to study the Bible, it really depends on whether you need more structure or whether you're more of a freestyle person. And you know, some people just really thrive on structure, and some people just feel trapped by that. And that's, like I said, that's okay. What I always recommend to women when I'm describing to them how to study the Bible, how to start a quiet time or whatever, first thing, ditch all the, what I call the canned studies, you know, the Bible study books, the workbooks, the DVDs, ditch all that for about a year so that you can get used to studying straight from the text of Scripture on your own, and you can know what that feels like and kind of get the hang of it for a year and not depend on other people's books. And then there are just some very simple ways that you can study the Word. And this first way is just, there's really no name for it. It's just picking a book of the Bible, start at the beginning of it, and study through to the end. That's pretty simple, I know, but you know, that's a great way to do it. It's helpful to have a study Bible that has a little section at the beginning of the book that gives you the background of the book, the setting, the author of the book, all that good stuff. just to kind of, because when you go from book to book like that and you're not doing it in chronological order, I don't know about our listeners, but I know that I need to get it in my mind. Okay, this took place at this time, you know, maybe it was before the exile, or maybe it was after the crucifixion or whatever. So I just need to get that timeline in my head and the audience of the book and everything. And so, you know, like I say, just pick a book, start at the beginning and work your way through to the end. You know, take your time. You may have it in your mind, okay, I'm going to study a chapter a day. And then, like I said, God may park you on a certain verse and have you studying that for a couple of days. Just as an example that I can give from my own life, you know, at the beginning of, we're in December right now. And so at the beginning of December, a lot of people were looking for a good Advent Bible study to do. And so a lot of people were saying, well, you should read the book of Luke from, it's got 24 chapters, and you start on December the 1st and you finish up on December the 24th. And I thought, okay, well, that's a good idea. I just finished the book I was studying. I'm looking for something to study next and I'll just do Luke. And so I started studying Luke on December the 1st, and here it is December the 15th, and I'm not finished with chapter 2 yet. So, you know, I think you're supposed to read a chapter a day, not study, you know, but God has been showing me some interesting things in those first two chapters. And so, I'm okay with that. Yeah. So just take your time. You know, you don't have to finish. I mean, you know, you don't, it's like I tell people, you don't get a gold star in heaven for finishing, you know, finishing reading through the Bible in a year. It's just a helpful structure that you can have if you need it. So take your time, study through that book, ask God to help you focus, to speak to you through his word. And then when you get finished with that book, pick another book and start all over again until you've, and I would encourage you to make it your goal to study through every book of the Bible. I know some of them are a little bit difficult, but it really is worthwhile to do that. And so that's one way to do it, is just, I guess, the pick a book method, I guess you could call it. And then another method that I would recommend is Bible reading plans, especially if you need more structure. You know, you need that, you know, January 1st, you read Genesis 1 and 2 or whatever, and all the way through the year. I would also recommend reading the Bible through from beginning to end, or reading the whole Bible, I should say, whether you do it in a year or it takes you longer or whatever, because reading through the entire Bible is such a gift, first of all. And then it really helps you to get a better grip on the entire storyline of redemption. A lot of us as Christians, we tend to hang out in the New Testament, but there is so much in the Old Testament that sets up the New Testament, and also that is very, I mean, God's people are God's people. God's people in the Old Testament were God's people, and they are very similar to God's people today. They fall into a lot of the same sins. They think alike and things like this. So reading the Old Testament can really help you understand the church today. So try to read through the Bible, you know, make it your goal to do it at least once. And then I would recommend you do it every few years or so. I also highly recommend the chronological Bible reading plan. There are some Bible reading plans that'll take you straight through from Genesis to Revelation. Some of them will have you like read a chapter out of the Old Testament, a chapter out of the New Testament, and things like that. But I really recommend the chronological reading plan, because it really helps you to get all those Old Testament events in the right order, because they're not chronologically arranged in the Old Testament. So you can do that. You can read through. One thing I like to do is to read through the entire Bible when I get a new Bible or a study Bible, and read all those. You know, if you have a study Bible, read the passage and then read all of the notes on that passage as well. That's a really good way to do Bible study. And, you know, there are also plans for studying through certain books, or just studying the New Testament, or studying certain topics and things like that. And a lot of those plans can last anywhere from just a few weeks to, and all the way up to a few years. And so every year on my blog between Christmas and New Year's, I put out a list of Bible reading plans. And so that'll be on my blog if you're interested in looking at a plan for reading the Bible through in a year or 3 years, or just reading a certain book through in a month or something like that, all kinds of plans. And that'll be, there's an article that I'll put on my blog sometime between Christmas and New Year's to help, you know, to give you some ideas and maybe you would like to pick one. And as you're thinking about these various ways to study the Bible, I would just add that you need to remember that studying the Bible is a skill, just like any other skill that you learn. You're not going to be perfect at it the first time you try it. You're going to try some things that don't work for you, and you'll find some things that do work for you. And there will be, you know, there will be times when you'll sit down with your spiral notebook and your pen, and you can't think of any notes to write down. And then there will be times when you spend hours on one verse, and all of that is okay. The important thing is that you're in God's Word. So those are a couple of the strategies that I would recommend. And also, finally, if you're not quite comfortable studying straight from the text of Scripture yet, or if you just want to try something different for your Bible study time, you can try one of the studies at my blog or at Amy's site, Naomi's Table. So Amy, why don't you go first? Why don't you tell us about the Bible studies you offer at Naomi's Table?
Sure. Well, I started Naomi's Table, obviously named after Naomi in the Book of Ruth, back in 2013 as a Women's Bible Hour radio program. And so it was a kind of a unique thing back then when I worked at the radio station in Green Bay and was co-hosting a one-hour live discernment show called Stand Up for the Truth. But I had this burning desire to help women learn from Scripture rather than from someone else's book about why they thought Scripture was so cool. You know, I mean, I've been through a lot of different Bible studies, Michelle, at churches or just in small groups, and I can tell you some stories that would curl your hair. But, you know,
my hair's already curly.
I know. You've probably been to them. Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Well, you know, all the women's books out there that I had been subjected to, where they were some of the most vapid cotton candy writings that really got you in the feels, like when we talked about earlier, you know, how these books were lacking in basic doctrine. And in so many chapters of these books that women were writing, Jesus didn't even make a flyby appearance, which was so sad to me. And of course, some of the so-called non-Bible studies that I'd been through, people's books, not Bibles, promoted false ideas, sugary emotionalism, and downright lies. So I've been through quite a few of those. And back in 2013, I was given actual permission over the noon hour, some very dead time audience-wise, you know, not a lot of listeners tuning in, but we hosted a one-hour live program for women on discernment and Scripture, and each of the Bible study we featured walked through one book or epistle of the Bible in both the Old and the New Testament, and so we'd have these series, and we'd go through one a day. And for teachers, I would just gather some of the local women that I trusted to record at the radio station with me chapter by chapter, verse by verse in these studies. And then at the end, we'd have a segment where I would interview them about what we had just learned and have a deeper conversation. And I have a repository of those radio studies at naomistable.com. But since the radio program ended in 2015, it kept going, but just online. So I have also published quite a few more books of the Bible with an excellent Bible study teacher. Her name is Beth Seifert. I vouch for her. She's solid. And she was also one of the original teachers on the radio. Her studies are really sound. They're about 10 minutes long. And we record and post new studies on the books of the Bible several times a year. And then in December, like right now, where we've got our annual Advent devotional going on. And really what I hear is that ladies are studying these on their own, or they're doing them in their church groups, which is cool, or they're just doing them with a group of friends, you know, around a table or something, and they listen to the studies, and then they do the study guides. We've got actual guides with each lesson, and it has you dig deeper into Scripture. So that's what we've got going on over at Naomi's Table. And tell me a little bit more about the Bible studies at your blog, Michelle. What's happening with those?
Yeah, those studies over at Naomi's Table are really good. I would highly recommend them. Very good. Well, as I mentioned before, I'm really big on women studying and teaching, if you're teaching a Bible study class. straight from the text of Scripture. And one of the reasons is that so many Bible study books are authored by false or questionable teachers. But that aside, the main reason I stress studying straight from Scripture is that being able to pick up the Bible and study it for yourself is a very important skill that every Christian should have. It's important to receive good Bible teaching and Bible preaching at your church, but you should not be so completely dependent on other people to teach you that you're unable to pick up the Bible and study it for yourself without the aid of someone else's books or materials. So the studies at my blog are mainly designed to teach you how to study the Bible for yourself and how to teach straight from the text of Scripture too, if you need to learn how to teach. And we do have a problem of, you know, a lot of times when in the church, there's no one who's trained to teach. And so when it comes to, you know, needing a teacher for a class, that's where a lot of churches will then rely on some of these more popular Bible studies that all you have to do is push a button on the DVD player. And well, I don't want to get off on that. That's a whole nother podcast topic. But anyway,
I get it though. Yep.
Yeah. You know, if nobody's trained to teach, then they just have to rely on what's available. So we want women who are trained to teach Scripture so that our churches don't have to rely on these poisonous, many times, studies from these evangelical celebrities. So my studies are sort of a learn by doing training wheels sort of approach. You read whatever the passage is for that day, and then that's followed by study questions that lead you back into the passage and make you dig and think and reflect. And it shows you what kinds of questions you should be asking of the text when you study and the kinds of connections you should be making between that passage and the rest of Scripture, so that, you know, once you've done a few of these lessons or a few of these studies and you get the hang of it, you'll be able to study whatever book or passage you like, and then you'll know the kinds of things that you should be looking for, and you won't have to depend on my studies or anybody else's studies anymore. You know, there's an old saying, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. So I'm trying to teach women to fish. You know, I'm trying to work myself out of a job so that nobody has to depend on my studies or anybody else's studies anymore. So anyway, I've written Old Testament studies on the women of Genesis, the Ten Commandments, Ruth, Ezra, Ezekiel, and Jonah. I've got New Testament studies on Mark, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Peter, and 1st John. I've got a couple of topical studies, one on biblical womanhood, one on prayer, and then there are some other miscellaneous studies as well. And we will be sure to put the links for those studies and also the Bible reading plans that I mentioned and the Naomi's Table studies in the show notes, so you can go check those out.
Yeah, we will. Excellent stuff, Michelle, on your site. It's such a great go-to, ladies. You ought to bookmark Michelle Leslie's site there. We want you to be studying God's Word, and we want to help you in any way that we can. So we're going to wrap it up, but thanks for joining us for another episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. And if you enjoy what you hear on the podcast, be sure to leave us an encouraging review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and share this episode with your friends.
That's right. And until next time, keep studying God's Word and walk worthy.